On Friday evening, a small crowd began to gather on the courthouse green in downtown Fort Wayne. Many members of the crowd held signs, raised their fists over their head, or chanted as cars passed by, heading down South Clinton Street. The protest was in response to the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Floyd was being arrested by police and was handcuffed when Officer Derek Chauvin knelt on Floyd's neck. Captured on video, the officer continued to kneel on his neck for nearly 9 minutes while Floyd cried out. Around the country, protests like the one in Fort Wayne have been happening since Floyd's death on Memorial Day. Alicia Roche organized Friday's protest with an event on Facebook. Roche says the protest was born out of frustration.
You know, after time, you see it over and over and over again. And then finally, I was just like, I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of just watching. I want to do. You know, I want to do something.
The group stretched down the street in front of the Allen County Courthouse, intermittently chanting various phrases that have become popular in the Black Lives Matter movement. Chants of "No justice, no peace," "Black Lives Matter," and "I can't breathe" filled the crowd. For the first couple hours, protesters remained on the sidewalk, protesting peacefully and without police presence. Eventually, cars began to slow to take videos or show support. Horns wailed as they passed the protesters. Fort Wayne police said the crowd began spilling into the street around 7 p.m. According to one protester, Walter Lewis, some cars stopped, their drivers getting out and joining the protest.
Everything was peaceful. Yeah, people did get in the streets, but then we got people out the streets, but then cars started stopping.
Lewis says he began to hear word of police coming to the area in riot gear. He tried to take control of the situation, encouraging other protesters to keep the peace.
So I let everybody know, I said, let's keep it peaceful. They're coming in riot gear. I said, but we're not going to let them provoke us. Exactly what I said. And before you know it, the police came running around a little small area, and then they just started spraying us with tear gas.
At 8 p.m., police began letting loose tear gas canisters and spraying protesters with pepper spray. At some point in the evening, protests turned destructive, and some of the crowd began breaking windows around the area. Police say they give several warnings to leave the area, while many protesters say they never heard a warning before they were met with tear gas. The clash continued into Saturday morning. Law enforcement leadership promised the violence of Friday night would not happen again. Allen County Sheriff David Glatto gives a warning to protesters that he won't tolerate any lawbreaking or destruction.
There will be no questions, no second chances.
In the afternoon, crowds once more began to gather on the courthouse green. This time, protesters faced the courthouse, where people took turns speaking into a microphone and bullhorn about the need for continuing to protest. Many speakers spoke to the need for unity. Brother Stephen Hargrave, a pastor from the Church of God in Warsaw, spoke at length at the beginning of the demonstration.
The system that produced the death of George Floyd cannot be remedied just by our gathering here. The system has divided us. And we have to make a determined effort to stand together as one.
Sister Elizabeth Opal took to the microphone to communicate her anger and exhaustion.
I am sick and tired of a system of oppression!
As it began to near 5 p.m., protesters at the East Main Street intersection of South Clinton Street began to venture into the roadway. As traffic stopped to accommodate them, members of the 10-Point Coalition began directing traffic, creating a lane for cars through the protesters. As traffic moved slowly, a SWAT car made its way to the intersection. Through the megaphone, police began to give warnings to protesters to clear the roadway. Some of the protesters began kneeling in front of the car. One tossed a half-empty water bottle at the windshield. Other members of the crowd quickly moved to try and calm the situation, encouraging a continued peaceful protest. After several warnings, a line of officers in riot gear came up from behind the SWAT car and formed a line in front of protesters on South Clinton Street. After a few minutes, tear gas canisters began to fly through the air. The line of officers moved forward down South Clinton, continuing to fire canisters into the crowd. At the other end of the block, the intersection of South Clinton and Barry, between continued chanting, car horns, and the sounds of the crowd, protesters had never heard the warnings given. The tear gas came as a shock. After the initial contact, protesters were divided around the courthouse. Some moved south, while a large number moved north to the Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge, continuing to block the road. After news of tear gas being fired again, the group on the bridge moved south once more. At the intersection of South Clinton and East Main, protesters and officers stood off once again. This time, the tear gas came from several sides, penning protesters in at Fryman Square while they set off tear gas and smoke bombs. In the crowd, two veterans, men who had never met before crossing paths at this protest, assisted one another after being hit by the tear gas. Mark Allen Brantley was a sergeant in the Army for 10 years. He says he's tired of seeing the murders and mistreatment of black people.
We showed up to peacefully protest, and they brought guns. They shot at us. They tear gassed us. For what? Because we have cardboard signs? How is that fair? They forget they work for us, not the other way around.
The skirmishes continued until around 11 p.m. on Saturday. On Sunday, protesters returned once again. This time, police officers joined them in the crowd, talking to members of the protest about their frustrations and needs before walking with them for a short while. For WBOI News, I'm Ella Abbott.